Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So we can develop and maintain a peaceful mind. So if you remember, the source of happiness, real happiness, not worldly pleasure. Worldly pleasure isn't real happiness. The source of real happiness is peace of mind. The more peaceful our mind becomes, the happier we become. If we train our mind to be peaceful all the time, we will be happy all the time. Whether we are sick, whether we're on our own, whether we lose our job, if our mind is peaceful, we'll be happy. If our mind is not peaceful, even if we are in the best circumstances, happiness doesn't come. And if you check, we know this through our own experience. But it's very kind of Buddha to point it out. If you want a happy life, you need peace of mind. Peace of mind we have to train in. We have to train our mind because it's anything but peaceful. It's everything but peaceful. We are very rarely peaceful. Very rarely. So we need to develop and increase and maintain a special experience of peace of mind. That's if we want a happy life. So we can develop and maintain a peaceful mind by transforming our mind from negative states into positive states. So we've looked at this in detail. If we want to be happy, we have to stop being negative. I think that makes a lot of sense. So you can't be negative and happy. We have to stop being negative and develop positive states of mind instead. So as we've understood, our mind operates on habit. We need to train it to have positive states instead of negative states. So then, happiness and suffering, what are they? Happiness like pleasant feeling, suffering, unpleasant feeling, they are feelings. Happiness and suffering are feelings. Feelings are part of our mind. So whatever feelings we have, joyful feeling, happy feeling, uplifted feeling, that's our mind. A downcast feeling, a disappointed feeling, an angry feeling, that's our mind. So happiness and suffering are parts of our mind. This is so important to understand. In normal language and society, we don't think, oh, happiness is a feeling. Suffering is a feeling. Feeling is part of my mind. That's why we need to understand what is our mind. So if happiness and suffering are our feelings, and feelings are part of our mind, if we want to stop painful, unpleasant feelings and have only happy feelings, we need to understand about our mind. So what we're about to learn, nobody knows. So tomorrow you can do some research. If you're going to work tomorrow, just slip into the conversation over tea break. What do you think the mind is? And see what happens. They think, have you been to that strange class again on a Tuesday night? You used to be so normal. Okay, so we need to understand the nature and functions of the mind. So we all know, mainly, what state our mind is in. So if I said, are you happy? You could say yes or no. Are you sad? You can say yes or no. So we have a rough idea about our mind. We know if I say, would you say at the moment your mind is clear? Or would you say at the moment your mind is confused? So sometimes we know we're confused. And we say, I'm confused. So this is our mind, clear or confused. However, if someone were to ask us, what is the nature of our mind? So what is it? What is its nature? What is the nature of our mind? What is our mind? And how it functions, so these two things, how does it function? What is it? We probably would not be able to give a precise answer. So I asked those of you who were here last week to, if you wanted to, answer the question, what is the mind? What is the mind? So you can ask Siri, you can ask Google. I haven't actually asked Alexa. I prefer to ask Buddha because Buddha's an actual living being who's happy all the time. I've never tried. It'd be quite interesting, actually. Maybe I'll do it after the class. Hello, Suri. So I've got the reply when I say, Suri, I've got a guy who goes, And I'll say, what is the mind? I've no idea what will come up. Wouldn't it be wonderful if what came up was a reference from one of the Kadampa Buddhist books? That would be fantastic. So we have a rough idea. And you know, we often, as parents, especially if you have teenagers, we often say, you need to change your mind. If you're a cheeky teenager, you can turn around and say, what is my mind anyway? And see what happens. So if someone were to ask us what the nature of our mind is and how it functions, we probably would not be able to give a precise answer. So is that true of you or not? So if someone asks you, what is the mind? What would your answer be? And what does the mind do? What's its job? So it says here, what's the function of the mind? I genuinely think that no one knows. So if you see, and you can check, if you ever see an article anywhere on the mind, there's normally an image that goes with it. What is that image? So let's say there's a title of an article and it says, Discovering the Mind, or Bad Habits of Mind. And then there'll be a picture. What's the picture of? It's normally of a brain. Always. Because guess what? There are no pictures of the mind. It's impossible to show an image, a picture of a mind. And we'll discover why that is in a moment. So in general, many people believe that the brain is the mind, or the mind is the brain. That's why there's always a picture of a brain, like a cross section, a vertical section through someone's head, just a cartoon, not a real head. And there's like grey matter, we say, grey matter, the brain. So we need to understand the brain. The mind is not the brain, and the mind is not any part of our body. It is so important we reach this conclusion through carefully thinking. So this isn't Buddhist belief, this is logical reasoning. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Don't worry, you don't need to answer out loud. Okay, is the mind the brain? That's what most people believe, and that's what you'll be taught in most education establishments. Have you seen a photo of mind? A happy mind, for example, or a depressed mind? Like when you're on Instagram, do you send photos, post photos of your mind? Bit depressed today. And then there's a photo of your mind. No. Here's a good one. You can eat brain. So I did a bit of research before the class. And there's a certain type of taco that you can get that's brains in a taco. Can you eat the mind? I'll have a mind taco, please. Yeah, it is funny. It's going to reach a very important conclusion. Can you smell the mind? Imagine if anger made a smell. We'd be in a lot of trouble. We would. So you can't smell the mind. You can't taste the mind. You can't see the mind. You can't, it has no tactile sensation. You can see brain. So if you're a brain surgeon, for example, every single day you see brains because you're trying to help people either relieve pressure on their brain or have an operation on their brain. But you can't operate on the mind. There are no mind surgeons. You can't operate on the mind. Please think about these things, because we need to understand from the depths of our heart, mind is not brain. Impossible. Impossible. So remind yourself and think about it. So what Kadampa practitioners learn to do is whenever we're doing normal mundane things, having a shower, for example, and you're just in the shower thinking, is my mind my brain? I can't see my mind. I can't photograph my mind. I can't operate on my mind. I can't eat mind. All of those things you can do with the brain. And you're just in the shower or you're having breakfast and you're thinking about meaningful things at the same time. And we will discover, as Geshe-la says, I'll just read. Some people think that the mind is the brain, but this is incorrect. The brain can't be the mind because it is simply part of the body. We can see it directly with our eyes. It can be photographed. Mind is not a part of the body. It cannot be seen with our eyes, and it cannot be photographed. It is clear the brain is not the mind. So here in the book, that's from another book. Here in this book, it says, Geshe-la says, the brain is a physical object, so that's true. In hospitals and scientific institutions, there'll be bottles and bottles of brains with different conditions as references. So the brain is a physical object. You can see it, touch it, photograph it, etc. It can be seen with the eyes. It can be photographed or operated on in surgery. That's the brain. The mind, on the other hand, is not a physical object. Very interesting. It's not a physical object. It cannot be seen with the eyes. Nor can it be photographed or repaired by surgery. The brain, therefore, is not the mind, but simply a part of the body. So please think, because in our modern society, in this country, for example, most people, like if you said, point to your mind, most people would point to their head. Most people. And most people believe that the mind is some aspect of the brain. Not true. So if you've been listening and you think carefully, can I see the mind? Can I smell the mind? Touch the mind? What color is the mind? It isn't a physical object. It's not the brain, because the brain is part of the body.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.